This is Mark Brzozinski. I'm in Washington. I'm the publisher of Wash Report. We're speaking with Professor Hisham Ahmed. Professor Ahmed is a Palestinian. He was born in Dehesha refugee camp near Bethlehem. He teaches political science. He's here in the United States at St. Mary's College. And we're going to talk about a subject that's much in the news, but we're going to talk about it much more openly and much more candidly, and that's the subject of a Palestinian state. Hisham, I've known you for a long time. Thank you for joining me today. I know that you have wanted to see a solution to this Israeli-Palestinian problem for a long time, and yet, in recent years, I think you've been, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you've been saying the Palestinian state that people are talking about, maybe it had some reality in the past, but it is no longer the solution that's going to work because the Israelis have manipulated it and twisted it. So with that introduction, the Palestinian state that's being discussed today by the Quartet, by the Americans, by the Israelis, and by the PA, is this a real solution or is it a delusion at this point?
Well, you know, the Quartet is talking about the Palestinian state, but I think there is more, it's an attempt to tranquilize the Palestinian people rather than to present an honest, practical solution at this stage. The Israelis have really turned the possibility of a Palestinian state into an impossibility by virtue of confiscating more land, building settlements, erecting this ugly wall on Palestinian land, separating Palestinians from Palestinians, i.e. transforming the entire Palestinian homeland into a set of reservations and cantons, which definitely make it impossible for a Palestinian state to be established, let alone, of course, the separation, the political and geographic separation between the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, Palestinians in the diaspora, the assault on Jerusalem. So in other words, we have absolutely every ingredient to make the possibility of a Palestinian state, unfortunately, quite an impossibility. Add to this, of course, lately, this whole charade about a crisis in American-Israeli relations, if maybe we would discuss that. It's really farcical. It's a real farce. Yes, the Israelis have insulted the United States by declaring the establishment of 1,600 new units, in Jerusalem. But at a time when Biden was there, but actually the United States seems to be more apologetic rather than the other way around. Add to this the fact that Mitchell, who supposedly canceled his trip to the region last week, is back again this week. So, in other words, business is as usual. Bibi Netanyahu is addressing AIPAC in the United States. Most likely Obama will meet with Netanyahu. It is all an attempt, basically, to signal to the Palestinian people that, yes, they ought to accept the conditions imposed upon them by the Quartet. They ought to accept the whole process of tranquilizing any resistance to the expansion of Israeli settlements, to the assault on Muslim religious sites, whether in Jerusalem, the Aqsa Mosque, or the Hebron Mosque, the Ibrahimi Mosque in Hebron, or the Bilal Mosque in Bethlehem. So in other words, the Israelis have been always getting the upper hand in this conflict, Mark.
Is the summary to what you're saying that the Israeli right wing, Sharon, was its biggest personality, has accomplished the goal they pretty much said 20 years ago they were going to accomplish? They were going to make a two-state solution, a real one, impossible by their settlement confiscation and destruction policies, and they knew that some people in their society kind of wanted a real Palestinian state, but they were going to make it impossible, and they've succeeded. Is that what you're saying?
Regrettably, this is the reality of life. I mean, I cannot think of any Palestinian or any reasonable analyst from any part of the world who would think that there is the possibility for the establishment of a real, genuinely real Palestinian state at this stage. There is absolutely no way, whether politically, geographically, or economically, let alone the other requirements for statehood. Therefore, the problem really lies in the fact that the Palestinian people are leaderless. There is no Palestinian leadership to come out and say today that, yes, we do not have any possibility, any way to establish a state, whether in 1 year or in 2 years, and any discussion of Palestinian statehood at this stage is deceptive. We don't have that leadership at all. Palestinians are leaderless in the West Bank. They are leaderless in the Gaza Strip. The Palestinian government is illegitimate. It is the prime minister basically comes from the party which won the least members of parliament in the Palestinian election. I mean,
And most of the parliamentarians who were elected, or not most, but about 40 of them, were arrested by the Israelis, and the Americans don't say a word about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, in Gaza, in the Gaza Strip, Hamas has declared also its own government, and which is also illegitimate because it has its mandate has expired. So the Palestinian people are in a dire dilemma in every sense of the term. I mean, there is a legitimacy crisis, there is a leadership crisis, there is an international crisis. Ban Ki-moon goes yesterday to Ramallah and talks about Jerusalem, yes, dividing Jerusalem between Palestinians and Israelis, but he was not talking about Jerusalem, he was talking about East Jerusalem. In other words, he wants to divide East Jerusalem between two states because of the different religious sides.
Well, and then they want to call Abu Dis Jerusalem and let Palestinians go to Abu Dis but not go to Jerusalem.
That's exactly what he is talking about.
Because that's the Israeli and the American plan.
Absolutely.
Well, not so much the Israeli plan, but the Israeli quote-unquote left plan, Yossi Beilin and Peres and that crowd.
The situation is indeed dismal, and yes, for me as a Palestinian, I've never learned to be pessimistic, and I am not, but I have to be realistic and say that in the foreseeable future, what I see, unfortunately, is more calamity, more volatility in the region. I think the Netanyahu government basically wants another Palestinian uprising of some sort so that it will have an opportune moment to shed more Palestinian blood, to demonstrate to Israeli public opinion that it does have the ability to deal blows to the Palestinian people, and thirdly, to prepare the way for perhaps some regional war in the very near future. I would say this summer is going to be a doubly hot summer in the Middle East, and I hope I'm wrong, but I think all indicators do point in that direction.
Well,
if this were to occur, I think then we have to expect so many consequences and so many spillover effects, the magnitude and the size of which nobody can foretell.
How does this tie in with the great movement among what I'll call left Zionists, although most of them are actually very traditional Zionists? J Street was set up in Washington, Yossi Beilin, the Geneva Plan. I mean, they're all talking about a Palestinian state. They seem much more desperate to create something called a Palestinian state than the Palestinians do.
Well, yes, they do want to create a Palestinian state, but only in two layers, in the minds of a handful of Palestinians around, and on books, on paper. But that's about it. In reality, they know quite well that there is no Palestinian state. See, these are the tamers, Mark. These are the tranquilizers, okay? And for Palestinians, these are, more detrimental. These are worse than the soldier on the street out there, the occupation soldier on the street there shooting at Palestinians, because these are the deceptive ones. These are the ones who engineer very calculated schemes, okay, to pacify the Palestinian mind and to create a Palestinian leadership that is completely divorced from the desires, the ambitions, and the rights of the Palestinian people. And this is exactly what we have today, Mark.
And the Zionist left, I think, it's really the center, but let's call it the left, is desperate to give the impression that they really offered the Palestinians some statehood. It wasn't, but in reality, they're trying to make themselves feel better, and they don't really have any option, and they realize, that, though they won't talk about it, that Sharon and the right wing did exactly what they said they were going to do, made on the ground a Palestinian state impossible. But on the other hand, it was the Zionist left, it was Rabin, in the aftermath of Oslo that furiously started more settlements than even the right had done before.
You know, not to make it look like that the the righteously put government or coalition today is good, but Palestinians have suffered, unfortunately, under the labor so much by building more settlements, by a worsening economic situation, and by tightening the noose around the neck of the Palestinians politically and otherwise. So there is a competition between these different Israeli and Zionist components, I believe, as to who will do more damage to the Palestinians, who will do more destruction to the Palestinians, albeit in different ways. Some people do it. You know, this is what Jabotinsky himself said many, many years ago. Some do it with military bayonets, and others do it with political bayonets, but at the end they all meet, you know, at the same spot, i.e. Against the Palestinian people. And this is unfortunately the situation on the ground today. It's a very painful
And thing. What's your analysis of the Obama administration? Of course, it's President Obama, but it's Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel, and it's Middle East man Dennis Ross. So what's your really candid, tough-minded, realistic assessment of the Obama administration, which many people in the world believe is helping the Palestinians establish a real state?
You know, it's a very disappointing situation, Mark. You know, Obama himself might be really a good person, and I think he knows quite well what has been done to the Palestinians, but I think he's weighing, you know, his options, and he is putting his political priorities, you know, at the top over definitely Palestinian rights. And I think this is extremely disappointing, and I think history will judge him in this respect in many, many ways. It will not be satisfying whatsoever for Palestinians that when Obama leaves office as a former president, that he starts writing about Palestinian rights. That will not be acceptable. He has the chance today to really shake up things. Yes, I realize, of course, that there are so many odds. He has many, you know, domestic problems that he has to deal with, and so many domestic components and constituencies. That is absolutely true, and I understand that from a political science point of view. But at the same time, this is a historic moment. Okay, false hopes given to the Palestinians and to the Arabs will create another wave of unmet expectations. I have heard it yesterday from some Americans and some Palestinians demonstrating against the wars, saying that to them the Obama administration is not different from the Bush administration. I mean, this is a huge statement, and I think the Obama administration has to be cognizant of that, and it can do something. Well,
in foreign policy issues, the neocons are supporting the Obama administration even more than what's called his base.
That is true, because he is leaning more towards the neocons.
And I'm referring from Afghanistan to Iran policy to the overall Middle East policy.
And ultimately towards Palestine as well, although, yes, there have been strong statements coming out from some elements in the Israeli government criticizing the Obama administration, but I think this is not meant to criticize, as it is meant to exert even more pressure on the Obama administration to make it succumb to the dictates and the desires of the Israeli lobby here in Washington, D.C. And I think the Obama administration has to be cognizant of this fact and has really to be bold, all right, in upholding the promises it has given to the Arab world.
Well,
worldwide.
You know, Hisham, let me phrase it this way. There seems to me a bit of a contradiction in what you're saying. On the one hand, you're saying, if I understand right, and correct me if I don't, you're saying it's really too late for a real Palestinian state. What the Israelis have done with the wall and the barriers and the Bantustans and the barriers around Jerusalem and all the restrictions, it's too late for a real Palestinian state. On the other hand, you say, but if Obama should be bold, he's got to stand up. Well, if it's too late for a real Palestinian state, what are you expecting Obama to be bold about?
No, you're absolutely right. You are perceptive, Mark, of course, as always. And yes, this is definitely a seeming paradox. However,
yeah, paradox is better word than contradiction. Okay.
However, you know, as I said before, to be Palestinian, you cannot have but to be optimistic. That's number one. Number two, you know, in the realm of politics, there is nothing impossible. Yes, what seems to be impossible today can be turned over. if there is the political will and political desire to do so. That requires leadership, of course. That requires bold action. What I'm saying is that at this very moment, given all the ingredients that exist today, it's impossible for a Palestinian state to be established. However, Obama can turn things around and make this possible, indeed. Let's uphold international law.
Okay, I'm not going to let you off the hook now. If Obama could, what is it you're saying he would have to do? Because freezing a few settlements isn't going to change the situation.
No, exactly. That's what I wanted to say. Let us recall for a moment, Ronald Reagan's statement regarding the Berlin Wall, okay? He, addressing Gorbachev, said, Mr. Gorbachev, please turn down this wall. And I'm calling upon President Barack Obama to be bold enough to come out and say that Netanyahu turned down this wall, all right? If he were to do that, he is upholding international law, and he is upholding American law as well, and he is definitely sending an extremely important positive signal to the rest of the world of first standing on the part of the United States in its foreign policy.
Okay, but
do that.
But talk about paradoxes. How can you expect the President of the United States, with all the pressures that he has to deal with and the Israeli Jewish lobby, to do something that the Palestinian leadership doesn't do? They don't talk about the International Court of Justice ruling the wall illegal. They don't call for the wall to be torn down. They don't even call for the restrictions to be ended. How can you expect an American president to do what the Palestinians don't even do?
That is the dilemma. But this is what real change means. Obama doesn't have to be more Palestinian, than the Palestinians. He doesn't have to be a leader of the Palestinian people. But he needs to commit himself, to the idea of change that he espoused when he ran for office. Yes, there is a serious internal crisis among Palestinians, and I fully understand. And this is actually the main point of weakness today, for the Palestinian people, is that they are leaderless. And therefore, many people around the world, Arabs, Muslims, Christians, constantly say that, how can we be more Palestinian than the Palestinians themselves? But, any defense of human rights and of other people's rights does not have to be contingent upon, this criterion, i.e. the weakness of leadership among the Palestinians. But Obama really has a historic moment. I realize the odds against him, but if he is to commit himself to the idea of change that he has espoused, yes, indeed, he has to stand up to the Israeli lobby.
All right, but I would also say, Hisham, you're speaking, of course, you are an academic, a very accomplished academic, and I know you have your PhD from the University of Santa Barbara, and you've taught at many universities, including Palestinian universities. But when we talk about Obama, the man Obama, the Obama administration, who actually in the White House day-to-day is running Middle East policy? Rahm Emanuel and Dennis Ross are two of the longest-time Zionist operatives, most closely connected with the Israeli Jewish lobby. They've been around for 20 years. Obama, are you suggesting that Obama is going to be able to stand up to them?
If change is to be fulfilled, yes. Now, I fully realize that what I'm saying carries more idealism than reality, unfortunately, because he might not do that. And most likely he is not going to do that, especially if he considers to run again.
But you're saying that's what would be needed
Absolutely. In
order to put us on a real peace path instead of a deceptive peace path.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that's a good point to leave this week's conversation, but boy, oh boy, have we got things to pick up in the future. Thank you so much. I'm Mark Brzozinski in Washington. I'm the publisher of Wash Report and MiddleEast.org, and we've been speaking to Professor Hisham Ahmed, a Palestinian born in Dehesha refugee camp and one of the most astute and thoughtful analysts on these issues, and a good friend of mine.
You are very kind, Mark.
Thank you again.